We appreciate your presence here today, and we hope and pray also that you will find an opportunity to come again and be with us. If you're looking for a church home, you have found a good one in us, and so we encourage you to look at us closely, examine us, and I just believe that if the person next to you is not friendly, then there's someone behind you or in front of you that's friendlier than that person, and I just believe that you will be able to connect with the right person. And since that's the case, just in case, let's go ahead and stand and have 2 minutes, and you look for that friendly person, amen, while we do that.
I'm glad I know you. I'm glad you know me. We praise our God. We're one big family. We lift our hands to reach the sky, and I am so glad you gave your life. Well, I'm glad I know you. Come on, lift this. Well, I'm glad you know me. Know me. We praise our God. We're one big family, and we lift our hands to reach the sky, and I'm so glad. You gave your life.
So good to see my son again. I'm beginning to enjoy his presence on Sunday morning, he and his family are with us. Let's keep Shelton in our prayers. And I know that this is a side that I'm able to see. Have not had this privilege when Christians are running for public office. I have been on the other side, but this time I'm on the inside. And I know the stress, and so let's pray for him. And let's pray for all of the ones. I know Sister Brown is running as well. And I believe there's another young man. Yes. That's right. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for everybody. Let's pray. I really couldn't hear him. I'm not being funny. I want to call your attention for just a few minutes to Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to read in your hearing verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Elevating our serve with 2020 vision, when I think in terms of our focus, we are looking at worship, and we are seeking to elevate our worship, to improve our worship, to make sure that our worship is enriching to each and every one of us. Oh, I come to worship. I come like many because I was taught to come. I come to worship out of habit. I just don't feel comfortable on a Sunday morning being in any other place than in the house of God, worshiping God. But sometimes worship can become ritualistic in the sense that we're just going through the motion instead of it really being something that we put a lot of effort in. And so this particular focus is designed to help us to deepen our faith and our confidence in our great God, who is the object of our worship, and hope that we will really, really, really make sure that our worship is not in vain. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving on up. I know that sounded like George Jefferson when he was talking to Weezy, when he said, we're moving on up. But I pray that we as a church, we're moving on up. I pray that we're moving ourselves on up on higher ground. When I look at this text, I understand that the whole chapter, well, actually the whole book of Hebrews, is contrasting the Mosaical worship with that of Christian worship. You have to have a good understanding of what was required of Israel in their worship in the tabernacle and in the temple with all of the offerings that they were required to do. Without that knowledge, Hebrews probably would not have the same impact in understanding and really in the relevance with which it is written. But I'm going to do the very best that I can to just briefly help you to understand, as we look at what the writer is trying to tell us concerning our worship. There are four ways that he highlights in this passage to enhance our worship. Four ways, four behaviors that he is emphasizing. The first one is in verse number 22, when he says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." He says, "Let us draw near." When you hear the word near, you must put in your mind near God. This is drawing near to God. Then the second is in verse number 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." When you think in terms of the "let us" in verse number 23, you have to think in terms of a covenant. Let us hold fast the covenant that God has made between you and him. And then the third way of enhancing or the behavior is in verse 24. "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." When you see verse 24, the "let us consider one another," you have to think in terms of support among the fellowship. God, the covenant, and the fellowship of those of us who are called to be saints. And then the fourth one deals with assembling. That is a place. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So the idea is God, covenant, fellowship of the people. Then fourthly, a place where we come together in order that we worship. If we can get our relationship to God right, if you and I have a real good, strong understanding of our covenant, if you and I understand that we're going to have to work together in order to make it, and realize how important worship is in our coming together in a corporate way, that you and I will be able to elevate our worship, elevate our praise to the great God who called us. Let us draw near. The Bible says, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. The scene in the Old Testament is the high priest going into the tabernacle or into the temple. There is a holy place. Then there is the most holy place. When you enter into the temple or into the tabernacle, there is a table that has 12 loaves of bread on it inside of the holy place. Then there is a lampstand. Then there is an altar of incense on which the incense was burned. Then there's a veil, and that veil separates the holy place from the most holy place. In the most holy place is the actual covenant that God has made with his people. There you will find in the holy place, you will find there where God has placed his covenant, the Ten Commandments. They're inside of a case. This case, ladies and gentlemen, is the place in which God has placed his presence through the cherubims that sit on the very top of this case. Only once a year, Only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies. And when he would go in, he would have to go in with blood of a bull and the blood of goats. He would have to go in once a year, sacrifice for his sin, then sacrifice for the sins of the people. Well, when you understand that when you come before God, you have to come before God sinless. You have to come before God having the holiness that he possesses. Without that, you could not have fellowship with God. So it was necessary, before they came into the presence of God, that they had to make sure that blood was shed for remission of sin. That was the blood of bulls and goats. Well, if you read chapter 10, you will find that God has already made it known that that was nothing but a shadow of good things to come. When you read the 10th chapter, you will find how that God said that those sacrifices that they made under that covenant could not make the worshipers perfect, could not purge them from their sin. Why? Because God has no pleasure in bulls and goats. God will never be able to take away our sin, purge us of our sin with blood of bulls and goats. That's why when you read the 10th chapter, you will find that Jesus says, "Thou hast prepared a body for me, and I come in the volume of the book. Do thy will, O God, as it is written of me. For you have already made it known that you have no pleasure in the sacrifice of bulls and of goats." Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, went to the cross, shed his blood, became the sacrifice. Through his blood, he entered into the holy place. The holy place now is heaven. And when Jesus went into heaven, he went there having his blood to cleanse us and to make sure that we, through him, are made holy, able to fellowship with God and have our own remission of sin. What I like about this, as I speak to the first point, let us draw near. I notice the reason that this one is better. This covenant is better, and the reason that this verse is so important is because he said, let us draw near. He didn't say, let the high priest. Jesus Christ is the high priest. Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. So he says, let us draw near. When you think in terms of us, that is togetherness, we are to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled, I'm in verse 22, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. When you consider how that the high priest had to go in having certain garments, having his body washed, God is saying to us, you can come to me and come into the Holy of Holies. The priest went in, but now you can come in. Not just you, but all of you can come in to the holy place. I think in terms of how he says, with a true heart, come without hypocrisy. Come with an attitude of gladness. When you come before him, come with the sense of freedom. Come with enthusiasm. When he says, come into his presence and draw near, he is saying that we can come in full assurance that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice that frees us from our sin. You and I can go with full assurance of faith that Jesus Christ is the high priest. He is in the Holy of Holies as our high priest. He is the sacrifice, having shed his blood So when I come into the presence of God, I go in faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. Someone said, well, we need 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision is faith. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, you can't see what I'm talking about. You have to believe it because God has made this known to us through the writing of the scripture. And so he is telling us that we can draw near and come into his presence and not worry about our sin. You know, when I think in terms of this idea of coming before God and having our bodies washed, look what happens to the Christian. The Bible tells us that our sins are washed away. When you read Acts 22:16, our sins are washed away in baptism. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Revelation 1:5, the Bible said that we are washed in his own blood. So when a man is baptized, not only is he baptized in water, but he is also washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And not only that, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:25-27, that we are sanctified and cleansed by the washing of the word. Washing of the word. So you and I can go into the presence of God, and we can go with boldness. Why? Because we have been washed from our sin. Blood of Christ has also washed us and cleansed us from our sin. And all of this is by the washing of the word of God. So I can go boldly into the presence of God. Some of us need to see how that our worship perhaps is not what it ought to be, is because we don't feel that we have a right to be in the presence of God. I don't know about you, but there are times that I don't feel worthy to even be in God's presence. I don't feel good about praying to God because of my sin and because of my shortcomings. These shortcomings that I have and these things that trouble this old human body of mine, they have a tendency to keep me from God. They don't help me to pray to him often. But if I take this text, the Bible says, draw near unto him. I don't let what's going on in my life and those miscomings and those things that have hindered me to keep me from being in the presence of God. Why? Because Jesus Christ has washed me from those things. Jesus Christ has cleansed me from those things. I can come to worship and know that I am in the presence of God because of the blood of Christ and because of what he has done for me. I remember one time I got word from one of my children concerning one of the grandchildren that they had gotten in trouble in school, and they did something that they shouldn't have done. And so when the grandchild came and she said, I'm going to bring you over to Granna and I'm going to let Granny and Pawpaw talk to you. And so when they came into the house, I noticed that the grandchild, you notice I'm not calling names, but anyway, the grandchild stood back. The grandchild stood back and was just crying and stood by the door and just crying. I'm sitting in my chair, and I'm looking. I know what happened. Amen. And I'm sitting in my chair, and he's just crying. Well, you know it's a he now. But anyway, all right. He was just crying, and his mother was there, and he was standing behind his mother. And she said, come on around. You almost know who that is now, don't you? But anyway, and so finally, when he was pushed, around her, and go talk to Pawpaw. And so I was sitting there, and he came over crying, and here's what I thought about. I said, you know, whatever he did wrong, I need to receive him and let him know that it's all right to come to Pawpaw at a time like this. I've got you covered. I didn't even care about what he had done. because I loved him so, and I saw those tears, and I said to myself, I said, the only thing I want to do is just hug on him right now. And I'll find out what he did later. And so, you know, when he got through, and then Granna, you know something about grandchildren, you know, if it had been my children, I'd have whipped them, amen. But they my grandchildren. And so by the time Pawpaw and Granna got through, I don't know what he had done, but, well, I do know what he did. But anyway, but the point that I'm making is that finally he was playing before he left, and he was just having a good time by the time that he left. And the reason is because he had no problem once he found out that I was not judging him and I was not going to chastise him and do whatever parents are supposed to do and grandparents are supposed to do, then he was able to be free. The point that I'm making is that's the way your God is. God knows that you've had problems. God knows that you messed up on your job. God knows you messed up in your home. He knows that you messed up with your friend. He knows all of that. But what God is saying, God said, in spite of all of that, I want you to always come near to me. Why should you feel confident about coming near to him? It's because whatever you did, Jesus has already cleansed you from that sin. He has already forgiven you for that sin. The devil is shrewd. The devil will let your sin and whatever you've done keep you and make a barrier between you and your God. But what God is saying is that know for a fact that Jesus Christ died one time for your sin. Amen. And he has eternally taken care of the sin problem. So I can go to God in confidence. And when I come to worship, whatever happened in my home on Saturday, I can still come and sing praises to Almighty God because I have been cleansed from my sin. That is the beauty. Elevate your praise. Don't let your sin keep you from worshiping your God, coming to your God, because God has promised that I will forgive you and have forgiven you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's the point. Come near before him. He said, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. You have full access to the throne of God. Well, the second point that I want to make. Let us hold fast our profession of faith. Here is the covenant. When you look at the covenant, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Now, I believe that the other times that he made reference to this, hold fast, it means hold down. It means to keep. It means to retain, possess. Let us possess the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't move away from your profession of faith. And this will help you to have your worship enhanced. If you know what God has promised you, that's why the Bible says in Hebrews 3, and verse number 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? Here it is. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hold it fast. If I have a covenant with God and I know that I'm no longer under that old covenant, Jesus Christ is my propitiation. Jesus Christ is the forgiveness of my sin. He has made a covenant with me where I can come into the presence of Almighty God. I should hold fast to that promise. I should hold fast to that covenant that he has made with me and not be moved away from that particular covenant that he has made with me. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14, listen to what he said. Seeing then that we have a what? Great high priest. I want you to put that on the screen. Seeing then that we have a what? Great high priest. That is what? Passed into the heavens. Jesus the what? Son of God. Here it is. Let what? Let us hold what? Fast our profession. For we have not a what? A high priest. Which cannot be what? Touched with the what? Feelings of our infirmities. But was in what? All points tempted as we are. Here's the beauty of that. He is simply saying, hold fast to the covenant that he has made with you. If he promised you forgiveness of sin, believe that. Don't let the devil tell you that you are unacceptable in God's sight. Why? Because he made a covenant with you. And if he made that covenant, he made a promise to you. And he will not waver from it. Don't you waver from it. He will be faithful in fulfilling his promise and the covenant that he has made with us. In other words, when I came up out of the watery grave of baptism, God gave me a warranty. He gave me a warranty with the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave me a warranty with a promise that I would be able to make heaven my home. That's my guarantee. That is my receipt. He even gave me the Holy Spirit, whereby the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that I am his. I know that if I hold on to my profession of faith, faith is 20/20. I know it because he said that. That's why you and I, when you read Hebrews 4 and verse number 14, and you read verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 10, the word hold fast is very important. The phrase hold fast is very important. Hold fast your covenant. Hold fast your profession. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm in chapter 4 and verse number 15. Watch this. For we have not a high priest which cannot be what? Touched with the feeling of our infirmity. But was in what? All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, there it is again. Let us therefore come what? Boldly unto the what? Throne of grace. I like that. When you come knowing that he has forgiven you, come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. When you get there, he's not there to condemn you. He's not there to challenge you and tell you that you're going to go to hell if you don't do this and you don't do that. No, he's telling you, you have come to the throne of grace. 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 Unmerited favor. The throne of grace. And then the Bible says that we may what? Obtain what? Mercy. When that child was in front of me, I was thinking about grace. Amen. I was thinking about what? Mercy. I was keeping his mama off of him. Grace. I was thinking about what? Mercy. Why? Because you came to Paw-Paw. Paw-Paw, amen, is going to protect you from your mother. He's going to protect you from your daddy. I got you, boy. Amen. You are in my presence. Don't worry about them. Go on in there and get you a snack. Go on in there and do whatever you want to do. I got you, man. Am I right about it? Nobody going to touch you as long as you're in my presence. Amen. I don't know what happened when he got home, but I'm telling you, I tell you, I had him. He came to the throne of grace and mercy. Some of us, I don't understand why we don't understand and appreciate our worship to God. God is a loving God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. I love God. Why? Because God made a promise to me. He made that promise long time ago. When Adam and Eve sinned, God made a promise, I will put enmity between thy seed and her seed. God made a promise that he would bring the seed into the world. Thank God that seed is Jesus Christ. When God made a promise to Abraham, God said, through thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God kept his promise. Am I right about it? God made a promise and told Abraham, I'm going to have the people of Israel will be in bondage 430 years. And then after that, God said, I will lead them out. God kept his promise, sent Moses, and Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Why? Because God had made a promise. God had made a promise to you and me that he's going to save us from our sin. God said he sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but through him we might have what? Eternal life. I thank God for his promise. I got to close now. I can't get to point 2 and 3, but I'm closing now. I thank God for the fact that I have a promise. I thank God that I can come near before God Almighty. When I'm in my situation where maybe there's a loved one that has been lost, and I know that Grief has stricken me. Grief has taken over. I know that when I read this and understand this and keep this in my heart and my mind, I know that God is there. Why? Because whenever I pray, I'm in the presence of Almighty God, a God who loves me, a God who's going to take care of me. Don't worry about what has happened. Why? Because God's got you. God is trying to tell you, I love you. God is trying to tell you, I took care of the problem long time ago. God is trying to tell us that I know that you, if you put faith in me and trust that I got the power to do whatever I want to do. You know, it's all right. It's all right to go to somebody. But if you go to that person and that person is not able to do anything, then I went in vain. But when you go to God, you're not going to God in vain. Why? Because he is omnipotent. God is all powerful. God can do whatever God wants to do. He proved it to you a long time ago. God says, come. And he said, come and lay your burden at my feet. Tell me what's on your heart and on your mind. God will help you. God will take care of it. Bible said, the eyes of the Lord over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Am I right about it? Come on under the shadow of the wings of Almighty God. God loves you, and God will keep you. Elevate your praise. Am I right about it? Elevate your worship. Why? Because you got a promise from Almighty God. That's my lesson for this morning. I pray, God, that you will always have confidence in God. That's all I want to emphasize. God loves you. He would not have sent Jesus Christ into the world if he didn't love you. He's paid the penalty for your sin. Accept that. Believe that. Know for a fact God will keep his promise. It's impossible for God to lie. Those Jews that were going back under the covenant, going back under the old covenant, they were foolish to go back under that old covenant. He's trying to show you that this one is far superior. You know, and I just want to show something, share something with you. See, when they went in under the old covenant, they had to go in every year. Not only did they go in every year, but they had to go daily with these burnt offerings, sin offerings, trespass offerings, and the free will offerings. All of that they had to do every day. But the reason Jesus is so important to us is because he went one time, just one time, and died and sacrificed. And the Bible said that one sacrifice took care of the past, the present, and the future. All sin was settled at the cross. Watch this. When he got off the cross, stayed around for 40 days, stepped on the cloud, went back to heaven. What did he do when he went to heaven? Sit down on the right hand of God. You don't sit down unless you finish. Am I right about it? Those priests that went in, they had to keep standing. Don't you sit down, stand. Am I right about it? But when Jesus went in, he sat down. Why? Because it's finished. He said it on the cross, it is finished. I took care of your sin problem. Therefore, I got confidence. And I don't let anybody run me down and talk about my sin. And don't run me away from the church. I'm going to come in here and sing hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just left the club and now I'm still coming in here singing. Am I right about it? But don't go back to the club. Am I right about it? That's the only thing. All right, I'm sorry. I slipped. There's enough blood to save me and to help me right there. You've heard the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism. Father, remission of sin. That's how you access the covenant. That's how you have the relationship with God, where the blood of Christ will continuously cleanse you from your sin. I pray that somebody is encouraged to stay faithful to God. Don't let your sin problem keep you from God. Don't let it keep you from one another. Let us is everywhere he said, let's do it together. Somebody ought to come. Come right now. While we stand and sing, will you come?
I am resolved no longer to linger.